Next week is Arthur.
Thank you. I'm Arthur. I'm an addict. So Tony leant over and was just like, if I'm disappointed with your share, I'm going to take the mic from you. So with that in mind, I'll get going.
Did I say that?
Oh, nice to be here. I don't know why this sort of doing this chair feels like a sort of weird exam. Like, have you really taken in recovery? Are you really clean? You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm very grateful to be here doing this. I'm sort of over 3.5 years clean, which has been a trip, really. I think that's the best way of describing it. God, I did not know what the hell I was in for when I turned up here. So we should probably start a little bit at the beginning. I first started using when I was 13. Loved it. But I think the first time I actually smoked weed, I got chased around the house with a knife by my friend who went completely psychotic. And I was instantly, I was in, it was a real buzz, you know. Then I wanted to do that as much as possible. I just sort of felt like, you know, I kind of did a couple of years of that, and I think, you know, this program's about addiction, you know what I mean? And I think, like, you could trace the symptoms of this disease right back into my childhood, you know what I mean? I have to have this thing. I'd like manipulate my parents into buying me this thing or this thing, because if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be complete. I wouldn't be able to fit in or even turn up and show up for my life, you know. And so there's always an imperative need for me. And I think the best kind of the best metaphor that I've come up for it is that I'm like a tree, you know. And I've got this beautiful big imagination, really big branches, but I've got no roots at all. So basically I keep falling over. Anytime I'm like, oh, this will save me, that will complete me, that will fill me in, that, you know, and then every time I reach for it, I fall over, and then everybody else has to pick me up, you know what I mean? And that's been the story of my whole life. And I think it's only since coming here that I've really started to put some roots down and figure out, you know, take that journey in, you know what I mean, to figure out who I am, you know what I mean, and that's been an amazing gift. My using kind of progressed when I was about 15, moved on to harder sort of party drugs, and found MDMA and discovered like the answer to all of life's problems. I don't think I'd ever felt like, you know, I was just like, oh, that's it, I've arrived. I want to do this as much as possible. And if I'm not doing it, I'm going to talk about it the entire time. That was another one of my really annoying obsessive addictions, was to just chat about it. To the point where people just kind of end up avoiding me, you know what I mean? Because it's just like, we all know what Arthur's going to be talking about next, you know what I mean? I'm not an uninteresting guy, you know what I mean? But it just like... completely took me over. And I kind of, you know, I managed to function for a while. You know, I got pretty good, like did pretty well at school. I enjoyed school, you know what I mean? And kept myself to myself, didn't really feel like I fitted in very well, you know what I mean? But I just sort of hid in the art room, you know what I mean? Like that was my thing. It's really when I left school that I really kind of sort of hit the problems. And I remember this taking a kind of conscious decision to go like, oh, okay, I'm going to stop fighting against this now. You know what I mean? Like that was the decision I took in my head. It was like, I can just let go and kind of, I'm free, or I thought I was free, like setting myself free to do whatever I wanted to do. You know what I mean? No rules. Which actually, when I look back now, what I'd really start to do is lock the doors behind me of the prison. You know what I mean? Like, because, you know, it really quite rapidly my using spiraled like into a kind of daily use after that. And moved to slightly harder drugs, and, you know, ended up in a real mess on my own in my room, like it always does, like for all of us really. Like this addiction wants me to be completely on my own, in my own head, with no one else around, living in my own fantasy. Just destroying myself. I remember just like that feeling of like just like, yeah, throwing stuff on the furnace, it felt like, you know what I mean? Like, you know how like someone's shoveling coal into a train to keep it running? Like, I mean, that was literally my experience of using all of my own in my head. And like, you know, lost all my friends and really ended up in a very lonely place. So that was, first got clean when I was 22. And I did that, like a detox in my bed on my own, which was not pleasant. Got completely obsessed with Mount Everest, like for some weird reason. I watched and researched and studied like everything for this sort of 2 month period that I was like, and then I got completely obsessed with getting back with the girlfriend that I had repeatedly broken up with. Poor girl, honestly. Arthur with no program, chasing after one thing single-mindedly is not a good look, really. I did that for about sort of eight, nine month period, and then I picked up again, and I had convinced myself, it was very like, I convinced myself, I met a new girl actually, and there's always a girl involved in all of my troubles, really. I'd convinced myself that MDMA was a really great drug, and that I'd never had a problem with it. It was a really loving drug, in fact, and I was a lot better when I was taking it than when I wasn't. And I'd never had a problem with it, you know, that's what I thought in my head. And I went out for this night with, because my this new girl had never taken it before, and I was like, yes, literally. And that was my favourite pattern as well. Find really innocent people and take them on a, you know, take them hostage, and then like, and literally my life fell apart in the week after that, and I'd kind of been starting to rebuild it a little bit and put it back together, and it just completely fell apart. Like, you know, I'm a musician. My band basically dumped me, essentially. I ended up in this real mess. Like, and I did a whole another year and a half and of using, which time the band that I'd been in went on to get really successful. I had to watch that happen. Very painful. And my life kind of went right back to exactly where I'd left off, you know what I mean? Which is on my own in a room, and with everyone angry at me, you know. And I can't sit with that, you know. I don't know about anybody else, but like, I kind of actually am quite a social creature. I think coming here has really like allowed me to just find my people that I can connect with. I find some people really difficult, but I think if I'm in amongst my people who I can feel energetically are my own people, like I can really connect and I want to connect, you know what I mean? Like, imaginative analogy that I've managed to come up with for relapsing is a bit like being, you know, when you get clean, it's like you peel off this horrible old skin, you know what I mean, and you kind of wriggle out of it, and it's really painful and difficult to get it off. And relapsing is like kind of reversing back into it, zipping it up and walking around in it, you know what I mean? And that's not a good way to be. So I'd heard that a friend of mine had got clean in Narcotics Anonymous, and he was such a caner that I just was like, well, okay, well, if he can do it, like, I can definitely do it. So I turned up at a meeting and literally felt, like, the first meeting, I was like, this is going to be all right, I think, you know what I mean? I think it's going to be okay. And I just did not know at all, like, what I was in for. Like, it's been the most amazing ride, I must admit, you know what I mean? It's been so difficult. And I had to go through a lot of moments where I really, really, really wanted to use, you know what I mean? I think the most difficult thing to sit with has been like, the obsession just does not go away. You just have to force it into these positive areas of your life, you know what I mean? Otherwise it's gonna be sort of trying to tear you apart, like, I was just laughing with Tony about online chess, which is my current If I'm going to be really addicted to my phone, I'm just going to try and do something that is at least good for my brain, you know what I mean? Because I'm going to be on there, you know, most of the day, trying to avoid my feelings, so, you know, I may as well, like, an online chess really gets the heart racing. I know that sounds really... as surprising as it is, I mean, literally, I could be up till 4 a.m, like, playing against somebody in India. Oh, it's amazing. didn't bank on that when I came in, honestly. That was not my idea of fun. But look, I've had a great ride, you know what I mean? I really think the step work is where it's at. You know, I think that that's a gift of this program that most people don't really get to have, you know what I mean? I think everybody could benefit from a bit of step work, you know, in the outside world. I can get a bit too obsessed with step work to the masochistic level. I've sort of working 2 programs at the moment, and that was not good, I think, just putting it out there. Two sets of step work at the same time is not a good idea. Very confusing. And I've kind of been through this really intense period because, you know, chasing after unavailable people is another one of my addictions. And I kind of managed to sort of charm my way into a relationship with somebody who really didn't really want to be in a relationship at all. And when that ended, I had to go through my second kind of heartbreak in the course of a year, because my other last relationship finished at the beginning of the year, and I kind of found myself heartbroken again, and I've had to really use it as an experience of going in again, you know what I mean, and to really look at myself and who I am and what I'm about. And there's this beautiful saying, which is that Rumi, your heart will keep getting broken until it opens, you know what I mean? And that's been my thing. I'm like sort of a mantra, you know what I mean? I've been like, okay, cool, it's fine. You're just being cracked open to a new level, mate. Like, chill out, you know? And I'm kind of grateful now, you know, because I've been on this last quarter of the year has been one of the most difficult times I've had in recovery. You know, I've done a lot of really interesting things with my time clean, you know, because you get the opportunity to live a life here. I've toured the world with my band. I've been to meetings all over the world, you know, and there's nothing like turning up really needing a meeting in sort of Chicago or something like that, you know, and be like, oh yes, I'm here, this last quarter of the year has been the most difficult thing, and the real conclusion that I've come to is that I don't love myself. You know what I mean? Like, that's right at the bottom of it, underneath all of the drama and the acting out and the search. Like, the search for me now is, how do I learn to love myself? You know, what's the point in being clean unless I love myself? You know what I mean? I may as well be using, you know what I mean? Because really the opposite of loving myself is destroying myself. And that's what I was doing, you know what I mean? And I'm not in that game anymore. But I can put myself into situations clean that, like, I kind of, if I can step outside of myself and get that perspective, and I'm like, mate, what are you doing? Like, you know, honestly, like, and yeah, I think so. That's it, that's where I'm at. And I think since coming to that kind of conclusion, it's like, okay, cool, where can I put this obsession, you know what I mean? Because I'm always going to have it, and it can go into work, pursuit of money, it can go into women for me, sex, love, like swinging on a pendulum between those two. It can go into absolutely anything. And so I've just been trying to do it into really positive areas, you know what I mean? Like, I've taken up rock climbing. Going to the gym, like I've really tried to stop for the first time, you know, in over this last month, like, which I haven't done in recovery. I've just came in and gone bang straight into it, and I think, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing, you know what I mean? I think I know less about what I'm doing and how to look after myself now than I did almost when I came in. But that's the kind of beauty, you get to go further into the mystery, and I'm obviously am better at it, but I just feel like I know less about it because I'm on this new level. So anyway, just tying it up and wrapping it up, like, I'm really, really grateful for this program. You know what I mean? If anyone's new in here, and you don't know what's going on, or you're just sort of hanging on the edge, like, just stick around long enough for the magic to happen, because you know, there's a life on offer here. That doesn't mean that it's going to be like the perfect life that you always imagined. It's going to be a life full of its challenges, ups and downs. And there's a thing that my friend told me, and I'll leave it on this, which is that everything in life is either a blessing or a lesson. One of those two things. And I think it's, that makes life very, very simple for me. You know what I mean? Either I'm learning or I'm enjoying. You know what I mean? And that's it. So I'll leave it there. Thank you. Thanks.